And welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman. Glad to have you with us as we make our weekly venture into the mysterious realm of the law. And boy, it gets more mysterious all the time. I thought one day it would, common sense would take hold. Common sense would take hold, and we would be able to make some sense of all this crazy stuff. I mean, it's just, but it's not happening. And I've kind of concluded that it's not likely to happen anytime, at least during my lifetime. And I hope I live a long time, by the way. But at least in my lifetime, common sense is not going to take hold. But we're going to take hold of common sense here on Legal Line, and we're going to try and make some sense of the law. We try each week to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems, your legal questions, right here on Legal Line, right here on the Legal Line Network. Boy, I'll tell you, the problems, if you don't have legal problems, you're just not thinking. You've buried your head in the sand, and you're refusing to acknowledge that you have legal problems. We all have them, and it's only natural. You know, disaster strikes, and you say, oh, I don't know, I don't think I want to address that. The stress of the situation drives you to the darkest room in your house. You're going to turn all the lights out, pull the blinds, and you're just going to kind of sit there. And we need to get you out in the open, because the law can make sense. I'm a big proponent of common sense, and I know as a lawyer I'm not supposed to do that, right? But come on. We should have common sense in the courts. We should have common sense in the legislature. Yeah, I know, we're all chuckling over that one. But we should have common sense in our everyday life. And I still think, and maybe I'm just kind of an optimist, but I still think if we tackle a problem and we initiate the discussion with ourselves, if no one else, in a common sense fashion, that it tends to lead us to the correct answer. Now, I realize there are some things, and I see them all the time, that are just downright weird. I mean, some statute is passed that makes no sense at all. You know, some case is resolved, and resolved with quotation marks around it, but some case is resolved, and it makes no sense at all. But I still like to think that most of the cases come out in kind of a common sense fashion. They have us saying, oh, okay, that sort of makes sense. Some judge makes a decision. Some legislator, well, I don't know, I may have to think twice about the common sense part with the legislature. They're way off the charts oftentimes. I don't know. Our three branches of government are important, and thank heavens we got all three of them. If we just had one of them, we'd be in so much trouble, I can't tell you. So much trouble. Hey, I got a disclaimer attached to the program. We got to do that, right? Got to do it. I wouldn't be a lawyer if I didn't have one. And it'll tell you, if you get up kind of close, it'll tell you that damages resulting from advice given on this program are strictly limited to what you paid for the advice. Wouldn't you know it? Leave it to the lawyers to come up with this stuff. And we do. On a regular basis, we do. Boy, we've got some fun programs coming up in the not-too-distant future. One that I'm going to be, I'll blog about later on, if not today, then certainly by the weekend. But very exciting news, Jim Stovall is going to be a guest on the 15th of September. And, of course, keep in mind, you know, with the programs, you can listen live, of course, Wednesdays between 3 and 5 p.m. Pacific. Or you can pick up the podcast and listen at your convenience. You know, maybe it's on that iPhone, or maybe it's on that iPod. Wherever it might be, you can tune in to the podcast. We're going to be creating a searchable archive. So if you missed the Jim Stovall event, by the way, you'll be able to go in later and pick it up. But it's fun to have you with us, of course, for the program. We'll get some information up on the website pretty soon about how you can contact us during the program. In fact, we'll have Jeff. We've got a special number that we can use for phone calls during the program. And, of course, you can always email us. Just email me, Bob, at bobpittman.com, or Jeff, jeff@bobpittman.com with questions about the program, timing, future guests. Maybe you got a suggestion, by the way, for a guest. Be sure to email us and comment on that as well. We are going to be doing lots of fun things as we go through the coming weeks. Let me go back to Jim Stovall real quick. Many of you will remember the book, The Ultimate Gift. It's just a terrific book. Really fun, easy book. Full of common sense, by the way. I like that. But just a great book. Read it a couple of times. It's like I say, a nice, fun, easy read. But it'll get you thinking about yourself, about maybe what you want to pass on to your heirs, either during your lifetime or after you're gone. We get to leave these messages, like a message in a bottle. little messages are going to pop up. It's going to be a pop-up for the kids down the road. I thought Dad was gone, and there came this message. You know, it's okay. It's a good message. It's okay. So we're going to be talking about that. But Ultimate Gift, a great book. I made into a movie, and it may be, I don't know if it's James Garner, if it's going to be his last movie or not. I kind of hate to say that because I'd like to see him again, so I don't know. But certainly one of his last movies, but did a great job. If you haven't read it, you need to pick it up. We're going to put a post up at the website. You know, there's a reading list, recommended reading list at the website, bobpittman.com. And we'll put Ultimate Gift up there. We'll try to get that up there, if not today, then in the next day or two. But just a really good read. And the book was, as I say, made into a movie. Great message film. But there's a message for all of us in the movie. So Jim did that. A lot of us have had rave reviews for quite some time and continue trying to read it. But he's coming up with a new book and a movie that'll be out, I want to say, in October. And so he's agreed to come and not only talk a little bit about himself, his story is really inspiring. Really inspiring. Look him up. He's got a website. In fact, we'll try to put a post to that when we do the program. But he's going to be on, and he's going to talk to us about his new book and some comments from his life that will have meaning for us all. So that's coming up on the 15th of September. You won't want to miss that. Yeah, if you do, you know, when I used to do regular radio, I'll call it regular radio, it was kind of, you know, too bad. You missed it, too bad. But not anymore. Not anymore. We've got the podcast that'll be available. That's going to be great. Now, self-help books. I want to make a couple comments about self-help books because some lawyers don't like them. Now, when a lawyer doesn't like something, it must be, I don't know, maybe it's my kind of renegade rebel nature, but I immediately say, oh, there must be something to this. And so it's the case with self-help books. I mean, many years ago, they started out, some of the companies trying to do them, Nolo Press being the big one out of California, and there were lots of people shooting at them, and there were, questions about the legality of this, and how dare they do this kind of thing. Now, admittedly, law is weird stuff and complicated stuff, and so you don't necessarily want to do it yourself when it comes to legal stuff. But the self-help books, the big secret, as far as I'm concerned, and we don't want it to be a secret, but the big secret when it comes to self-help books is their usefulness for all of us to learn a little bit about areas of the law that maybe we don't have any clue on. I mean, and this goes for lawyers, too. And they would be well advised to pick up a book on, maybe it's a topic that they just are interested in and they don't have any great expertise in. Great way to find out. But for a non-lawyer, you've got a problem, let's say, or an issue, make it landlord-tenant, make it a neighbor question, whatever it might be. The idea is you can grab a book, one of these self-help books, and we list a bunch of them at our website, bobpittman.com. But take a look at one of the self-help books if you've got a problem, and you begin to get a feel for this area of the law. You begin to say, aha, you know, a few aha moments. Oh, I get it. So you begin to be able to frame your issues. And it may, of course, tell you that you don't have a problem or one that you can resolve readily. That's going to be helpful, too. But it will help you outline your issues, outline your questions, problems, and frame the issues. That's really important so that you can then dig in a little more if you're going to do that. Or when you go see a lawyer, you're going to know kind of what you want to talk about. And you're going to say, you know, here are my questions. Here are my questions. Here's what I know. Don't try to impress the lawyer with your knowledge. You're not there for that. But, I mean, you know, here's my problem as I see it. These are the issues that I see it. Let the lawyer obviously chime in with it. But you have an idea. You'll have better expectations when you go in to see an attorney. It's one of the best things you can do, I think, in an area where it's an important area to you, not just some quick little problem, but to learn about something in that legal area. Maybe you're going to go into business and you say, wow, what do I do? Do I just go and hire an attorney, let the attorney take me through it? And a quick tip on hiring a lawyer, you never go into an attorney's office, lay on the floor and say, take me, I'm yours. I mean, that I can't tell you how many people do that. Not with me, I guess, because I talk about it so much that people say, we're not going to do that with you, Bob. But so many people, you're in panic mode. Something legal happens in your life, and you're in panic mode. And you just go to the first lawyer you find, and you just say, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm with you. Not a good idea in general. You want to have a recommendation, typically, to a lawyer that's in the working in the area. Get some idea of what type of activities they're involved in. You know, you would not come to me for a antitrust case. You know, if you're Microsoft and you're saying, hey, we need a good antitrust counsel here, they're not going to come and see Bob. You know, they might stop by and say hi. They might send me an email and say, hey, Bob, how's everything going? They might ask me for a referral. Now, I don't really think Microsoft's going to ask me for a referral, but they could. Lawyers are good sources of referrals. If you know a lawyer working in a particular area, let's say it's estate planning, whatever it might be, and you need a real estate lawyer, well, you can call the estate planning attorney and say, hey, you know, Bob, Jane, I need an attorney who can help me buy a piece of property. What do I do? You know, and so the lawyer oftentimes can say, hey, you know, let's slip off here. Let's get you over to so-and-so, and they can probably help you with your concern, with your question. So self-help books are great ways to get you going on a problem. We have the beginnings of our reading list. We're going to be adding books as time goes on. We'll take books down, too, but we'll be adding books over time and making recommendations in terms of what you might look at to try and understand a problem. You know, if you stop over there, let's just do that. Let's stop over to bobpittman.com for a second, and I'll just give you a couple of quick examples. Go with me. If you're there with us, if you can do that without losing the broadcast or the podcast, otherwise do it later. But if you go to bobpittman.com, if you go to the Legal Line page, we're going to go over to Legal Line, and we should be able to, we'll see recommended reading. And so we can click on recommended reading, and up comes our great fun list that we've started. There's a fun one. Understanding Living Trust. That's one of my favorites. Vicki Schumacher. She writes for non-lawyers. I like that. But here's a whole bunch of books. Your Rights in the Workplace. We'll probably have some of these authors on. I know we're working right now to get Neighbor Law. Boy, neighbor law, I don't know anybody, unless you really live out in the wilderness and your neighbors are, you know, a bear maybe and a squirrel or two. But otherwise, even then, maybe you got neighbor problems. You might have bigger neighbor problems. I don't know if you're up in Alaska and your neighbors are too many bears. You know, there could be a problem. So, and we'll talk about the bear problem maybe down the road a piece, not so much today. But here's, you know, business, legal guide for starting and running a small business, one of my favorite books. It will help you think through the process of deciding what entity to use when you start a business. You know, should it just be you? Should it be a limited liability company, a corporation, a partnership, different types? It'll walk you through some of those issues. Now, you may end up going to see an attorney eventually, but you're going to be armed. You know, armed and dangerous. I mean, be armed with information. And you're going to have some idea, again, about that business start that you're going to do. And we'll do a whole program not too far off on starting and running a business. Because there are so many issues. I mean, we could probably do program after program on starting and running a small business. And that book, though, will get you, kind of get you going on that. So stop by the reading list and take a peek at that. Now, you know, we actually have, let's check with Jeff. I think we actually have a little comment here. We have, let's check here. Jeff, can we go to our little piece? We got a segment out just for a moment here. Let's see if Jeff can do this. We're going to experiment just a little bit today, so bear with us. But let's see if we can do that. And what we'll do is slip out with a little bit of that catchy theme song. And yes, let's do that. Let's go right over to it, and we'll continue right here on Legal Line on the Legal Line Network. One of the best legal bargains has to be the bar-sponsored lawyer referral services. For about $35, maybe $45 or so, you can have a half-hour consultation with an attorney who works in your area of concern. So, for example, if you have a real estate issue, you'll meet with a real estate attorney. If you have questions about a contract, you'll meet with an attorney who speaks the right version of legalese. Keep in mind that you have a half hour to discuss your legal problem. This is not a lot of time, but usually enough to determine if you need or want to engage a lawyer further. But you must use your time efficiently. Before you meet with the lawyer, write out a brief statement of the facts and write down your questions for the lawyer. If the questions are written down, you'll probably remember to ask them. When you meet with the lawyer, don't spend time talking about other things. Don't talk about the game last night or the weather. You have a limited amount of time, and you need to talk about your legal problem. In King County, you can call 206-267-7010. In Pierce County, you can call 253-383-3432. If you go to the website for the Washington State Bar Association, you'll find more information in the For the Public section. Look under How to Find Legal Help, and then under Lawyer Referral Services. And of course, you can always go to bobpittman.com. And we continue with this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman. Happy to have you with us this week as we kind of get our venture launched online. I spent, just for background purposes, spent many years on the radio taking general legal questions for many, many years. I don't know if I should say how many or not. It was 17, but don't tell anybody. Any rate, spent a lot of time in Seattle. On the radio, the CBS affiliate up in Seattle for many, many years, talking about your legal problems. That's what the show was built on, and we're going to do that. But we're also going to be taking a lot of time to talk to guest experts, because I like to learn new things. I don't care how long I've been in practice. I love learning new things. I hope that's true for you in your life as well. So we're going to learn lots of new things. We're going to talk pretty soon. We're working on a bankruptcy session, bankruptcy and credit session. We are going to have the attorney who represented the Green River Killer coming up shortly. We will have some friends from the court showing up. We won't use their name to promote it, but showing up not too distant future. So you'll want to find out. We're going to talk a bit, by the way, about some of the issues that are so important, and one of them is electing judges. And we'll be talking about that probably, if not this month, then into next month. And, you know, now one of the things I like always is, and I might, I'm going to grab Corey Sullins if it's possible here. I don't think he's quite ready for me to grab him, but I want to take just a moment because one of the things I like is to find out, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff. I don't know about you. I always like the outtakes. And we'll have a couple outtakes today, I'm sure. But I always like outtakes. And we are going to have some questions, by the way. Diane's got a couple that came in, and so we'll get Diane in here to help us with that. But I want to just take 1 second because we're kind of launching the venture here. And we've got Corey Sullins with us, and we'll get him to kind of pull that microphone up to him. And Corey, thanks for stopping by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
I kind of grabbed you, I know.
Yeah, I was trying to sneak in and grab some cables.
Yeah, there's no sneaking with a lawyer in the house. I'm sorry. You know, it's really a tough one. But I just want to take a second, and we'll take time, a few weeks down the road a little bit. But just take a moment. I mean, this is kind of, in my mind, kind of a grand venture going from the old radio over to what we call internet radio, I guess. I don't know what to call it some days. I mean, we're... It feels to me like I'm on the radio like I used to be.
Right.
With the microphone. But you and we talked to Micah actually on our test run. But you guys have, along with Jeff, have engineered this grand venture we've got going. Tell me real quick, what's the name of your company that you've started?
My company is Mobius Technical Solutions. We provide IT support and technology support for small and medium-sized businesses.
And, you know, I think on your card you're going to have to put innovative down because
yeah.
I think this qualifies on the innovative front.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll add that for sure.
You know, what could end up happening is you may end up traveling the country helping other people set up their internet radio.
Sure, that'd be great.
Because this is kind of it's such an interesting thing. You know, when I did... regular radio, there was, I mean, we had a pretty good size audience, but it was limited, geographically. We were not, nationally syndicated, and so it was a geographic area covering maybe most of Western Washington, but still, a fairly limited geographic area. And now this, of course, will cover all of that and more.
Right, yeah, worldwide. And in fact, I think they might be even listening on the space station right now.
That's possible. That's possible. And by the way, one of the things I think that's kind of fun is we can say kind of a hello to all of our friends in the armed forces
all
around the world.
Right.
Because very possibly someone's going to be, maybe not this moment, but listening to the podcast at some point.
Yeah, I'll send them the links.
That's
I'll
right.
Just shoot it over to Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fun thing is they actually can.
That's true. Actually, we had internet connections out to sea. It wasn't the fastest.
Yeah.
It was kind of like being up on dial-up or worse.
I'll talk really slow.
Yeah, that'll help.
For anybody out in Afghanistan. But I sat in a few times for a national program, and we were going over the old-fashioned airwaves of the old Armed Forces Radio Network, which I think has a different, I think they call it American Forces now. I don't know. I think they wanted to get rid of the word armed.
Hmm.
I'm not sure. I've always been curious why they changed, because I always thought of it as Armed Forces Radio Network.
Well, our television was still Armed Forces Network, so.
I mean, I guess I don't know why we would get rid of the word armed. And maybe it's just me being a suspicious lawyer.
Yeah, maybe. You got to be careful.
You do have to be careful. That's very true. All right, so I just wanted you to, I mean, this is really neat, and what I'd like to do is grab you in a few weeks, and maybe let's tell people a little bit about how we've managed to manage this internet miracle to
sure.
be able to put things together.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it. Yeah, it's it's a perfect example of what we do. We take cutting edge technology and help small businesses grow and expand and help manage and protect their business. And this is a key aspect of that is being able to do. What you do and the wonderful service helping people and you were limited before to the geographical area of the radio, and now you can reach anybody, and they can reach you.
It's amazing. Yeah. And so we're going to do just that. We're going to hopefully point people in the right direction, like I say, with regard to legal problems, demystify the law. A big thing, we'll never totally be able to demystify, but we can sure try. And I am certified on translating legalese. I mean, I'm a a qualified translator of legalese.
Wow. You're one of like three people in the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at least I claim to be able to do that. All right, so we're going to count on you coming back to talk some more about that, not today, but on a future program. And we got to get your information posted at the website. I know we had Micah did a great job, and when you go to our website, bobpittman.com, you'll see a reference to him.
Yeah, I'll probably try and bribe Micah to put a link to my website at the bottom down there. But it's Mobius Technical Solutions. It's mobius-technical.com. You
great.
Can reach us.
Yeah. That's great, because we'll be talking about that more. So, all right, thanks for stopping in.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, let me mention a couple of really good resources. And these are, I mean, they're not secret resources, but it does seem like a lot of people just plain don't know they're there. And I don't, it's just always it's always a puzzle to me that we keep it a secret. It's like we are, and I don't know why. But anyway, if you go to one of the best websites ever is WashingtonLawHelp.org. So if we go to, let's go right over, let's take a peek, and I'll kind of give you some comments here as we go along. A lawyer's comments, right, to Washington Law Help. So one word, WashingtonLawHelp.org. Okay, so go with me on this, and I'll roll through it with you as you're finding it. But it is one fantastic website. It gives you self-help information on all kinds of things. I mean, it's just amazing. You've got, here's family law. It talks about, dissolution of marriage, parenting plans. If you stop over onto the family law section, I mean, it helps you with, it's got do-it-yourself family law packets. Now, I think it's kind of dangerous to do your own divorce. I'll be right up front. I think that's a little bit on the dangerous side. But sometimes people have no choice. And so you've got some do-it-yourself information here. One thing that people have been discovering in the family law area is you can use so-called unbundled legal services here in Washington State. And a few other states have it as well. But the idea is you don't have to engage the attorney to do absolutely everything. You can use an attorney as a coach. You can work with the attorney to get some coaching done, talk about how you get this done, how you file this document, how you file that document, what types of things you need to think about, what should you know before you go to court. And the attorney can be basically coaching you through the whole process, and obviously you're going to spend less money. So if you don't have the money to begin with, that's an option. And the coaching could be very limited, just to help make sure you don't totally fall on your face when you get into this, or it can be more thorough. Of course, preference in a dissolution area is going to be to use an attorney. And we'll talk about that more on an upcoming program as well, about the dissolution process and what you should be doing. You know, a new issue that's come up, of course, that's really, it's always been there, the unmarried couple questions that come up, and what does one do? And it's come more to the forefront, of course, in recent months, recent years. And that's a family law issue, a dissolution kind of an issue, and that's where, at the very minimum, some coaching would certainly be important. Quick comment, if you're going into a divorce and you've given each other power of attorney, and it may not be appropriate to have that power of attorney in place. I mean, you just imagine you've got someone that you're divorcing, or they're divorcing you, and they have your power of attorney to transact business. Now, it's not that they should be doing that. Clearly, they should not be using your power of attorney. but they may do it. So you want to make sure and revoke those powers of attorney that are up. Now, we've got a couple of questions, I know, that had come in, and we're going to see if we can corral Diane and see if she can come in and help us with these questions for our upcoming segment on Legal Line. You are listening to Legal Line with Bob Pittman, by the way, right here on the Legal Line Network. You find us always at bobpittman.com. We are going to be blogging more and more, and maybe blogging a few comments about today's program as we get ready for the big time launch of the program. Good guests coming up, by the way. Be sure to check out Jim Stovall's material. We're going to get the material posted on our website so you can be taking a look at some of this prior to the discussion with Jim on the September 15th. But Diane's been kind enough to volunteer. She's picked up some questions that have come in. And you're always welcome to email a question in, by the way, and you can do so. Send it to bob@bobpittman.com or send it to Jeff. Jeff's our able-bodied producer. Engineering all this stuff as we go through our program, but send it to Jeff at bobpittman.com as well. So we're going to say thanks to Diane for stopping by.
You're welcome. Here
I am. Appreciate that. We'll get you to. We'll talk right into that microphone. That's great. So we had a couple questions come in, I guess. A little different than call-ins. We'll have a combination, of course, of call-ins and email questions, and we'll do some remote broadcasts. We have the ability to go out and do some remote stuff, too, which we'll do and bring back into the studio. But what did we end up in terms of questions?
Well, I have a couple. This one is from Angela, and she says, I bought a car last night. I kind of knew I shouldn't have, but I felt pressure, and they told me not to worry about the payment. Now I am worried, and I don't think I want the car. My friend told me that I have 3 days to cancel the contract. Is this right, and what do I do to cancel? Just drop off the car or what?
Oh, man, no, don't just drop off the car. Boy, how many times has that happened to somebody? In fact, I can relate to that myself from years ago. I remember it was, I suspect you may recall this too, but many, many years ago, buying a car late at night and waking up in the morning and saying, oh my goodness, what did I do? What did I do? So the question goes back to an old time rule that we had many, many years ago, and we still have. And that's, and some of you will remember this, and some of you will say, oh, that might have happened to my parents or grandparents, but they used to sell vacuum cleaners door to door. And it's, can you imagine? But they're, you see it maybe in the movies, old movies, late at night. Occasionally there'll be a vacuum cleaner salesperson. In fact, there was an I Love Lucy episode. We can hit Lucy sometime too, but selling vacuum cleaners door to door, we have a law in Washington, and I think most states have some form of it. But when it's a door to door sale, there's a 3-day cooling off period, we call it. So someone comes to your door, and they sell you this thing they call a vacuum cleaner, and you actually buy it. You have signed the contract, say, oh, send it to me, and I'm going to pay $89,000. Blah blah blah. You have 3 days to cool off and realize what you've done, maybe, and cancel the agreement. So that's what Angela's thinking about, is that old rule of being able to cancel some contracts on 3 years. Unfortunately, if she went to the dealership and bought a car last night and signed the contract, drove off, paid her down payment, got it all set up, she's in the soup. And she owns a car at this point, and we want to wish her a lot of happy miles driving that new car. Used car, new car, we don't care. If you actually bought it, there is no 3-day cooling off period. Now, I'm going to throw out a small exception. Once in a while, you hear about these big, huge sales that are occurring on, maybe at a mall or something. Well, when you get into a situation where someone is selling something away from their normal place of business. So they're not normally selling at the mall. Now, if they're normally selling out there, that there's a different answer to it. But let's take an example away from the cars. Let's go to the home show, or let's go to the fair. and you buy something at a place like that, well, you're going to have a three-day right of cancellation on things like that. And there are various cancellation rights for things like timeshares and business opportunities, telemarketing. Someone calls and convinces you to buy, you know, the greatest whatever since something else, since sliced bread or whatever, and maybe it's a new bread slicer, I don't know, but something. Well, you're going to have that that time period to cool off and to cancel. And also, if they take longer than 42 days to send it to you, that's another thing. It's kind of a backdoor area, I guess, in terms of cancellation. Now, when you go to cancel, you're going to want to be very, very careful. Number one, always go to the document that you signed, and it will specify a way to cancel. It has to do that. So it'll say, here's how you cancel. Here's where you send this. Blah, blah, blah. You've got to follow that, but then also come back and say, okay, no matter what it says there, I'm going to follow that, but I'm going to make sure that I send by certified mail return receipt requested. Okay, you want to get that return receipt signed by somebody accepting the cancellation document, so you can say, yes, I sent it within the 3 days, and in fact, I have a return receipt that shows that so-and-so from that company accepted it and took it into the system. So you're always going to want to do that. Now, sometimes, and maybe it's more lawyers, but a lot of times lawyers will send things, the really important things, two ways. We'll send it certified, but we might also send it in just a regular envelope, and we'll have somebody else do it, somebody in the office, and that person will then be able to make an affidavit and, you know, sign a statement, in other words, a special kind of statement that says, you know, September 1st, 2010, I mailed a copy of this letter, cancellation letter, to so-and-so. The envelope was properly addressed, had the proper postage on it, and we threw it in the mail, and it never came back. So if you get my point, you're sending it certified. We hope the return receipt's going to come back, but you're also sending it regular mail. And when that regular mail doesn't come back, that helps us too. So I tend to send really important stuff like that two ways, certified, return receipt, requested, and regular mail. So going back to the car, if Angela really wants to try and check this out, this is a good one for the referral service. And the referral service that we mentioned just a few minutes ago can be very useful. And for a small charge, $35, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood, an attorney can go over her paperwork and see if there's anything that leads him or her to believe that that the contract is not enforceable. Now, I'm not holding out a bunch of hope. Car dealers are very good, typically, at being able to fill out their own paperwork and sell somebody a car. The car is probably licensed in Angela's name now. I think she's bought the car. And the bottom line is there's no three-day right of rescission like we would normally see with, say, a door-to-door sale. So, Angela, best wishes. Keep listening, okay?
Well, I know in our lives we've decided to not buy the car on the spot, and oftentimes we'll sleep on it and then make the decision in the morning. So that, you know, might be a wise piece of advice.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. In general, when you're making major decisions like things like buying a car, I mean, sleeping on it is not a bad idea. And I always worry when someone will say to you, oh, you got to do this today because tomorrow it's not going to be available. That's usually an indicator to run quickly away from the situation. You know, I've seen situations where someone will go door to door, and it's a scam. It's someone saying, you know, Diane, we're down the street doing Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
Siding or roof.
Yeah, roof maybe, something. Or repaving or sealing their driveway.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you name it. And we're in the neighborhood, and we came down because we noticed you got some issues with your driveway, let's say. And because we're in the neighborhood, if we can do this today, we normally charge, you know, $2,250 for this kind of work. And, of course, you know Mr. and Mrs. you know, Smith or Jones down the street. You know, they're wonderful people, aren't they? But we normally charge that, but we have leftover materials. We're right here. If you can do that this afternoon and let us take care of this afternoon, we're only going to charge you $1,195. Can we do this today? Can we get this done for you? I mean...
Yeah, not for me.
Okay. That's the answer. You want to say no? No. No. The answer is no. So, I mean, is it always a scam? You know, it's close enough to where I think I'm going to say always, but it's, I guess there's, it's possible that someone is not running a scam with a situation like that. So, all right. Hey, we have any other questions?
We do. We have a couple. This one is from Frank, and he says, my mother's having trouble, a lot of health problems, and she's starting to need help with day-to-day stuff. She wants me to sign on all of her accounts and even wants me to put my name on the house. Is this okay? And I guess I want to ask, what kinds of things should I be thinking about? I've got a brother and a sister, but they're out of state.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tough situation. It's almost never a good idea to put your kids on your accounts. I mean, rarely. I mean, once in a while, small account, not much money in it, not a big deal. It's not too bad. But one of the biggest problems is when we, let's say mom puts Frank on the account. Frank sounds like he's a really nice guy, by the way. I don't mean to say Frank's a bad guy. But puts Frank on the accounts, all the accounts, you know, the CDs, the stock account, all that kind of stuff, and then also adds Frank to the house. And what I hear sometimes is mom will be saying, well, then things will be so simple. You know, Frank can take care of everything now, and when I die, everything just goes to Frank, and Frank will share it with his brother and sister. And of course,
we've seen these cases before.
And of course, you know, Frank is probably a really nice guy. So, Frank, forgive me if you're listening to this. But, you know, it puts you in an awkward position. And sometimes, not you, Frank, but sometimes another Frank might say, you know, I think mom really wanted me to have this stuff. Because legally, if it's in, say, joint tenancy with right of survivorship here in Washington State, it's going to Frank, hands down, not going through the will, not going through a trust. It just belongs to Frank when mom dies. And if Frank wants to share it with his brother and sister, he's actually making a gift and potentially a taxable gift, depending on how much is there, when he shares all that with his brother and sister. And that's usually not a good idea. Here's another reason, and this is one where it's kind of out of Frank's control, maybe. But Frank is on the house, let's say. Let's use the house as an example. Joint tenant, right of survivorship on the house. And Frank goes out and gets in a terrible car accident. And Frank owes, you know, way more than his car insurance will ever cover. You know, maybe he has minimum coverage or who knows what he has, but he owes way more. Well, there's a risk that that house is going to end up being sold, and the creditors of Frank are going to end up with maybe half of the proceeds of the sale of the house. And mom's going to be off at Safeway one day. She's going to come home and find that someone else is living in the house. And they'll hand her a check for half the proceeds. That's the good news. Bad news is half the proceeds will go to satisfy Frank's judgment. Now, what if Frank is, let's make it even worse. Let's marry Frank off. And Frank's wife decides to divorce him. And doggone, the court awards that half of the house to her. And so mom is now living with Frank's ex-wife. Now, that's not always bad, because sometimes mom likes Frank's ex-wife a lot more than Frank. And so it could be that it's not a bad thing. But normally we want to plan those things out and not let that happen. I mean, Frank could also get in a weird business venture and fails, and all of a sudden, again, mom's house is in trouble. So now, Frank didn't ask this, but one thing that has happened sometimes is mom will give the house to Frank because she says, you know, I'm just going to give everything to Frank. That way I don't have to worry about probate. And we'll talk about probate on another show sometime. But I don't have to worry about probate that way. And it's just simple and hassle-free. And now the whole house goes up in smoke in that lawsuit or judgment. Or what's worse, Frank decides that, you know what, mom shouldn't be living there anymore. And it's my house. And mom, you're out. And so that could happen too. So proper planning, because Frank, part of Frank's question is what should he be looking at? Well, one of the things, one of the simplest methods of helping mom is to obtain a durable general power of attorney. And so Frank would be named on a durable general power of attorney. that would allow him to help mom when she needs help. Could take it to the bank, and one of the best things would be to go visit the bank with the power of attorney with mom and have mom say, you know what, Frank's going to be helping me and maybe more as time goes on. I'd like you to honor his power of attorney. Here I am. I'm telling you it's okay. And the bank might even have their own little form. Some brokerage firms will have their own form of power of attorney that you can file. But if you've gone to the bank and the bank knows mom and Frank and knows that mom wants Frank on as power of attorney, well, that's great. And now Frank gets in a disaster, let's say, in some big lawsuit. The power of attorney is not going to cause mom to lose her assets. Frank may lose his own assets, but he's not jeopardizing mom's assets by putting that power of attorney together for mom. Now, sometimes a trust is a good idea, and a trust can manage assets in the event of mom's incapacity. And so depending on a lot of other circumstances, we might want to actually take a look at a trust plan too. And it gets into, you know, proper planning and maybe having mom and Frank, and maybe if brother and sister are going to be in town sometime, maybe everybody needs to pay a visit to an estate planning attorney and talk about some of the issues and see what kind of help the brother and sister might be. They may not be able to provide a whole lot of help, but maybe some moral support. Depends on how far away they are. But I think it's good to make sure they're aware of what's going on, too, in general. Of course, it's always dictated by what mom wants. And when mom goes to see an estate planning attorney, mom needs to make sure and convey to the attorney what it is she really wants to do and let the attorney help a little bit in terms of assisting in recommending certain ways and certain things. Now, a good book brings to mind a good book that we should have on our recommended reading list. I think we do. And it's if you go down the reading list at bobpittman.com and take a peek at, let's see if I can find it. I guess right up top, Plan Your Estate by Dennis Clifford. There it is right there, Plan Your Estate by Dennis Clifford. Great book. It's worth the read. It talks about general estate planning issues, and I would recommend that someone take a peek at that in preparation for their meeting with the attorney about the estate planning. Have we got any other questions today before
we do. I have, okay. I'll just give you one more. We can do more later.
Sure.
But, John sent us this question. He said, my mother died with no assets, but she owed about $16,000 on a couple of credit cards.
Ouch.
Wow.
Ouch.
Do I have to pay these bills?
Oh, boy. The credit card companies will say, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, please, John, send us a check. In fact, I get calls every so often from someone saying, you know, mom or dad or Aunt Martha or somebody died and left a bunch of debts and virtually no assets other than maybe the family pictures. Now, the family pictures generally are not worth a whole lot. I mean, maybe, you know, it depends on who's in the picture. If you've got a picture of Aunt Martha with, maybe with John Lennon or something like that and signed by John Lennon, well, that's an asset. And maybe that has to end up being sold to pay some creditor claims. If it's the miscellaneous junk that I know I've got sitting around, I know other people in the family do not have junk. They have really valuable stuff. But my stuff is, you know, kind of a bunch of stuff, you know. So that stuff isn't worth much usually. And so if you have an estate with no assets, and as long as John has not signed on to the credit card agreements with mom, you know, don't do that. That's the tip, by the way. If you have a chance, don't sign on to it. But as long as John is not on the agreement too, John can say, no, I'm not going to pay him. And John, you do not have to pay the debts of somebody who has passed away, even if it is your mom. Now, you can voluntarily do it. I see people sometimes voluntarily pay the debts of a mom or a dad just because they say, you know what, I feel funny with mom dying owing $16,000, let's say. Well, that's a different issue. That's not a legal issue. That's kind of a, call it a moral issue or ethical issue or something that emotional issue for you. Because I think there's nothing unethical, by the way, of not paying that because it's not your obligation. So don't let them tell you it's your obligation unless they have your signature on something. Now, if you were out charging stuff, you were an authorized signer, and you charged a bunch of stuff on mom's credit card, I might have a different answer. So, but in general, you're not stuck with the debts and obligations of a person who has passed away. very few exceptions to that rule, which is, I think is good. I think it makes sense. So we're going to take more calls and questions, of course, on upcoming programs. We've got a number of great shows lined up. Like I say, Jim Stovall, I'm really excited to say that Jim Stovall is going to be our guest on September 15th. You won't want to miss that one. But we have a lot of other neat people who are going to be joining us on the program. And the most important people, of course, are you. And so we will put some more information up on the Legal Line page as to how to contact us. But you can let us know that you want to call. In fact, we'll put the phone number up there, too. It's probably easier just to put it on the website. So the Legal Line page will have a little bit more information in coming days. Be sure to check out the blog. I'll be blogging more and more as time goes on. Maybe sometimes additional comments from the program that may have just occurred will be up on the blog posting as well. You can locate us on Facebook, and of course we'd love to see you over there. You just go to Facebook and just punch in Legal Line with Bob Pittman, and you'll be able to catch us over on Facebook. We're going to be talking more on some future programs about how to hire a lawyer, how to find a lawyer. I think that's a really difficult task, and I've got some good ideas for you on how you can locate an attorney, because I think that is tough. Just going to the Yellow Pages with, due respect or regards, my regards to the Yellow Page folks, but going to the Yellow Pages is not necessarily the best way to find an attorney. It can be one way to maybe verify that someone's out there, someone is actually in practice, but there are lots of other ways, and we're going to talk about that, and we'll try to touch on some of that, if not next week, then in the following week or two. From that. Now, all of our programs become a podcast, and this one will become a podcast as well and available to everybody. We're going to close out. If we have any other questions, comments from anybody, great. Otherwise, I think what we're going to do is slip out for this week, and I'm going to say to everybody to stay in control of your legal affairs, at least until we get together next time, and we can talk about what you've done that's so out of control. Remember common sense, one of the best things. And let me just say this, too, as we're going through our life every day, the word that I try to keep in mind, and hopefully you will, too, is the word respect. I think if we try to keep the word respect in mind as we say things, do things, we're going to have a little better place to in which to live. So keep the word respect in mind. This is Bob Pittman for the Legal Line Network. You're listening to Legal Line with Bob Pittman, and we sure appreciate you taking time to be with us.